This is Nick Urich, and you're listening to Let the Hate Flow Through You with Jeremy Shear and El Jordano Diablo.
Let the hate flow!
Available on the Lousy Weather Media Network.
Welcome to Let the Hate Flow Through You, your weekly dose of audible hatred. I'm Jeremy Shear.
El Jordano Diablo.
And this week, we're back. Surprise, if you're a subscriber. Welcome, if you're not. We are joined this week by WCSB radio personality and the host of Crap Radio every Sunday night at midnight to 2 a.m. on 89.3 FM WCSB Cleveland, Mr. Keith Newman.
Welcome, sir.
Hey, I'm thrilled to be here.
Thanks for coming on. So
we're always happy to be on your show. So,
hey,
you know,
get to turn around and do it the other way around.
So see the disdain in your face right now.
Yeah.
He hates our show. That's why he's here today.
It's not that I hate your show. It's not that there's disdain. It's I'm kind of worried.
From what I hear recently, quite a few people are worried to come on the show.
No names. not worried about appearing on the show. Worried about dog hair. Yeah, so if I start sneezing halfway through this,
that's all right.
Or run away.
We all have allergies.
Yes.
Yeah, what if your allergies are that bit shit? The studio has JoJo, the dog, who hates me. So there's not much I can do about him.
No, most dogs don't hate you either. Most dogs love you.
Yeah, but JoJo just, every now and again, he'll just growl at me for no reason.
Like, yeah.
What are you doing here?
Yeah.
You were here to touch my people. So now that we've done a long, stupid podcast intro.
Yeah, right.
Keith, why do you hate fear?
Fear is...
The band?
I was about to go off.
I'm like, Li Bing is a hero.
Well... Nothing on Li Bing. It's personal fear. It's like fear of like things that I hold back from doing for God knows what reason. Mostly because afraid of consequences, unknown consequences, things that I can't predict, can't control, and I'm afraid to like just jump in and try something brand new. It's part of why I'm here tonight. You know, did I want to be here? I'm not entirely sure, but I figured. I might as well because
you couldn't have picked two better people to talk to about this kind of thing because I think both of us have been recently or within the last year or so been dealing with a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah.
So I think this will be good and therapeutic for everybody.
I don't know if I'm looking for therapy, but when the subject of hate comes up, it's like I instantly go for like the internal thing. It's like, what do you hate? Well, 95% of the stuff I hate is really all internal stuff that I hate about myself. It's really easy to like pick apart yourself. And the thing that really holds me back from doing a lot of the things I've wanted to do in my life is fear. It's just like that, you know, why didn't I talk to that girl? Why didn't I try that job?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's what are the consequences that get you like the most riled up when it's like I just can't do this?
That's a good question. And I don't know if I even fully think it out. I think sometimes I just psych myself out before I even start.
Yeah.
I think that happens before I even rationalize like I don't know if I even get to the point of like, oh, why is this going to fail in my head without even thinking it through. I think that, you know, fear of rejection is certainly there.
Right.
Everybody's got that to a point. Nobody wants to have a door slammed in their face,
right?
Or you know, have the cops called on them or a restraining order filed.
Sure.
You know,
I mean, especially in, I mean, with the climate of how things are today, I think it's instilled fear in good ways and bad ways in people. There should be a healthy fear of like you said, having the cops called on you for like what I assume like being a creep or something like that.
Oh, sure.
That's what I kind of gathered from that. And it's like,
not that anybody's done that to me.
And I understand that. And that's what I was going to say is like, I think that kind of fear should be there for people who do stuff like that. I won't even call that a struggle. I just think you're an asshole at that point. But no, I completely get that. Like, as far as when you're like, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I do that? And it's like, I've tried and I'm trying, I'm working on it now, is like, fuck fear. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't do something, you're going to regret it later because you'll never have known if it was going to work or not.
Yep.
And I know that's very cliche, but I'm just trying to adopt that myself, is like, man, fuck that. I'm just going to... My biggest thing right now is I'm struggling a lot with work and mental health shit, and, like, I'm getting to the point where it's, like, it is just time to gamble on myself and see what I can do.
Hell yeah.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah, the gambling, I think, is one way people look at it, which, you know, if you're not a gambler, then it just becomes, oh, shit, this is 100% going to fail.
Right.
So there's no gamble. It's just that's the end game.
I mean, I'm not a gambler by any means, but like I use that terminology just more or less the fact of like, you know what? I'm tired of working these shit jobs. I'm tired of, you know, being overworked and underpaid and stressing about that kind of shit. I know that there's certain things that I'm working on and doing in this world that I have been positively reinforced by others.
Why? He gets handies when he talks into a microphone.
Exactly. Yeah. Mostly by myself, though. but yeah, no, that's just where I'm at. Like, and I get it because there is that constant fear, and fear causes anxiety. I mean, I could fucking quote Yoda right now, but like, I don't need to. I mean, all this Star Wars.
Yeah, we got all the imagery around us. Yeah,
right, right. But I mean, if you don't know Star Wars, get the fuck out of here because that's what our goddamn podcast is named after.
Yeah, we do. We're recording in a Star Wars podcast studio. So
Chatter Squadron, check it out.
Exactly. So you mentioned that, you know, the fear of rejection is like, it's a specter there.
Yeah.
But what is the thing that you finally grasp it and then it's like, this shit doesn't matter anymore?
Oh, man. Well, I think that in some cases I've gotten well past a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fear of looking stupid at work. Yeah. That's not something I'm afraid of. Well, mind you, I work with a bunch of high school students for the most part. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, I typically I fail every day at stuff I do, you know, because every time I'm doing something quite frequently for the first time.
Oh.
You know, I'm building scenery or designing lights or taking care of something. And sometimes, a construction technique, you've got to do something and try something you've never tried before because a piece of scenery or something that you're doing is completely different. You know, the skills transfer from one show to another, but you're doing something inherently different and you're designing a different piece and you've got to rig it within conventional ways, but it's still inherently a different piece.
Sure.
So there's different ways to like screw things up badly on a regular basis. So yeah, I do that. I'm well past being afraid of that. But mm-hmm. you know, I just worked a gig with a bunch of professionals. I'm not even going to say where recently.
Right.
And you know, I made a decision which, in hindsight, I should have made a different decision.
Mm.
You know, the trick is to not do that again.
Right.
And but yeah, for a while there, I went back into my own high school phase of wow, I just want to, you know, crawl, slink away and disappear for about like 45 minutes and maybe meet people after lunch. But yeah. You know what? That's that type of mentality is what's in my head. The other person who like, you know, chided me for whatever, rightfully so. You know, it was out of their head probably within about 30 seconds exactly. after the engagement. So it's like, you know, sometimes you just got to get past that.
Well, and that's
that crap go.
That exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, you sit there and you will go over. I'm guilty of this, dude. Like, I don't talk super like about my personal life. I mean, I do sometimes, but like what's been going on with me lately has a lot to do with fear and anxiety. And I have to train myself to make myself understand that when and if I fuck up, most people don't even notice.
Yep.
It's all upstairs. It's all in your own head. And that's the worst part.
I mean, is it easier to deal with when the shame factor is completely taken out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it is.
So that kind of makes sense as to why, like, many mental health advocates are like, end the stigma, because it's like, that's some of the hardest part is that, you know, the shame is there. Like, you're ashamed that you're sick. And then if that goes away, it's a lot easier to deal with.
That's what I'm struggling with right now is, like, you know, I've been in therapy for over a year, and things are starting to come to light where it's like, okay, my doctors constantly tell me, like, that I'm very self-aware. I'm very good at pinpointing my problems and being able to talk about them. But that doesn't mean that fixes everything immediately. Mm-hmm. And both of them said that for the first time since they've been seeing me, this is the worst condition I've been in. But I also get that positive reinforcement because I am actually doing the work that they give me, you know, you know, be it meds, be it exercises, be it whatever it is, I'm doing the work to get better.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it does help. It starts to help. I mean, it doesn't, like I said, it just doesn't fix overnight. And that's what a lot of people don't understand is, like, it's not a switch. Like, if I don't choose to feel this way, I just do because of my fucking brain chemistry.
Mm-hmm. And that's there's a truth there. I think there's a huge truth there in that it's a choice. And that's something that most people don't grasp with something like this, is that it's actually a choice. And we can be really self-defeating. I can be self-defeating within myself. If I don't identify the fact that I could actually, like, go forward with something. I could go talk to that young lady. I could go out and try something like a podcast, which I've never been a part of before.
Yeah.
Well, I've been a part of a podcast. I'm just not the person talking on the podcast.
Sure,
engineering one.
You do very important work, Keith.
Yes.
Like, yeah. There's a reason that I pay somebody to handle all this, everything else.
There's yeah. reasons we're here and not elsewhere with our own equipment. The last thing we need is to learn how to fucking do this shit.
That's fair enough. Mm.
But, I mean, as far as it being a choice, I meant, like, having a mental health issue is not a choice.
Oh, that's not a choice.
No, right. But, like, you making the choice to try and get better.
Right. And trying something new.
Yeah.
Getting out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Which is something that is absolutely a choice.
Yes.
You know, going out to, you know, answering, you know, a friend of mine posted on Facebook recently, hey, I want to go do this. Anybody interested? I wasn't sure what I was going to get into for the evening. I said, sure, why not?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say, sure, why not, lot more now than I used to.
Absolutely.
Because I'm realizing, you know, it's the further you get away from high school as an adult, the more difficult it is to actually, like, maintain friendships, either with long-term friends or meeting new people that you could actually call friends, that you got, like, those close personal relationships with that are not mob related.
Right.
So
absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a getting out is, like, a huge important thing, because otherwise you could get mired in all sorts of other funks, you know, depression and whatever else comes with it. If you don't try to, like, engage people, you know, we're social creatures, and sometimes I just fail simply because I won't go out or I won't do something.
You know. Yeah, it's like you're putting that stop in front of you before anything else, like, comes into play. And
it's like the light won't turn green unless you let it.
Hang on. I'm trying to think.
In your own head.
Okay. I was about to say, like, where do you park? Go push the button and then the light turns
green. Well, you got to wait for somebody to walk, which you're not going to do. So.
No. You know, maybe I don't think fear is the reason that I refuse to exercise.
No, it's just laziness.
You could say fear of sweat, but you're going to sweat enough. Regardless in this weather.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm always going to sweat. Like, I am fat. If there is movement, my body needs to produce lubrication.
Well, I mean, like, going back to what you were saying, though, is, like, I aken it to the Batman Begins line. Like, why do we fall? Pick ourselves back up. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the biggest challenges people have. I mean, especially when it comes to fear. Just because, like, if you fail one time, You think you're going to fail every time.
Right.
And that's bullshit.
Absolutely.
Because you can, like, I'm a fucking walking example of that. I've failed so many goddamn times, but I'm still here. Like, I can still get, I can, no matter how deep and dark of a hole I can get into, I know I can dig myself out of it if I try hard enough. Right. And I read a quote from Jim Carrey yesterday, which I'm not a huge fan of.
He said, a vaccine causes autism.
Yeah, whatever. Like I said, I'm not a huge fan of the guy, but I mean, some of his work's great, but that's not why we're here. But he did say, he's like, I do think depression and mental illness is absolutely a real thing. He goes, and it was, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know, if you're not doing the work, if you're not trying to make yourself better, you don't give yourself a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And that applies to a lot of things. You just got to keep doing it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody is born knowing how to use a power drill,
right,
or how to paint a wall, or how to drive a car.
Hang on.
Okay.
People are born knowing how to paint a wall. This is what you do. You bend over in front of a wall and spray paint.
There you go. Okay.
I mean,
what color?
I mean, sometimes green, sometimes brown, sometimes yellow. You know, you don't know, not everybody knows color choice.
It all depends on what you're eating, is basically what you're saying.
Yeah, but you need to learn that.
So you know which color to paint the wall?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
The trick is realizing that it's not just painting a wall, it's protecting the floor. It's making sure that it's got an even coat. It's making sure that you can't see the brush strokes. And that's, of course, you're going for that sort of thing because you're an artsy-fartsy type.
I think Jeremy's talking more about like a Jackson Pollock type thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're painting
with
it with.
With his butt.
Okay.
It's Jackson Pollock painting with his mouth. I like to paint with my butt.
That's fair.
It's easier to hold a brush.
That reminds me. One of the things I'm involved heavily with the Starwood Festival.
Yeah.
And so there's plenty I do there completely without fear. It's a very, very a large part of his environment.
You love.
Absolutely. Well, and it's a very accepting and open environment. I mean, you could have people of all walks of life that completely embrace their inner freakdom, and they are much more freaky than you ever will be.
Sure.
And so if you want to go out a little bit further out of your comfort zone and try something different there, that is like the place to do it, just because it's got like that feel, that vibe. And
it's just an easier jumping off point because, you know, you're not being judged.
Yeah. In fact, your freakdom's probably being appreciated a little bit. A lot of it. And getting back to Jackson Pollock and tying this together, because this is what brought on my thought about the festival, which is coming up in another week or so. I was thinking, because the place is clothing optional, maybe we could attempt to find some, like, paint, a body paint type thing, a ginormous sheet of some sort, and attempt to do, set a record for, like, body painting, like, largest, like, naked body painting type thing.
Give it a happening. Shot. Why not?
And then what the question is, where do you display such a piece?
I mean, you're going to have to get an aerial shot.
Well, we could do that. We've got the drone footage.
Oh, that's great.
We got the drones in action.
That's great. Yeah. Why not, dude? Why not?
Yeah, like, why
that's
not?
The thing, and that's, like you said, why not? What is, like, if there's something you want to do, fear is only going to hold you back, and fear is only in your mind.
Yep.
Like, that's the main point. It is only in your mind.
Fear is the mind killer.
100%.
Yeah.
There are times, though, when I wish people would have a little bit more fear, only because, you know, they're not cognizant of what they're actually doing.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So it's how to... I don't know. Is a good way to stop somebody from doing something stupid to remind them that they're afraid of it?
Hmm.
I mean, I think I agree with everything you're saying. It's just, it's all circumstantial is what it is.
Hmm.
I mean, like, if somebody's like, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to fucking put an M80 in somebody's gas tank. Well, I don't always think that's a bad idea, depending on who the person is. But if you're just going to go do it randomly, like, hey, idiot, think of the fucking consequences. Because if you get caught, I'm not going to rat you out, but I'm also not going to save you either.
It's like, hey, there's, yeah, that car's on fire. I don't know.
I was here. There's also, how does fear get instilled into you? So largely it starts with parents.
Parents, religion, yeah. School.
Don't touch the stove. It's hot.
Yeah.
Why? Why is it hot? Why is it hot? I don't believe it's hot. Ow! Yeah.
I mean, I believe, like, I mean, kind of what you were going. I think, you know, there's a healthy fear of some things. Like, but I think that if the world would, you know what? For example, like the climate of this world again, apparently, with all the hate towards certain groups of people. You know, I've talked to certain people. I've read certain things where it's like, it all starts with fear of each other. Like, I mean, as adults, you know.
Are you talking about the queerds or the coloreds?
Both.
Okay.
Like, it all starts with a fear of the unknown, something you're not used to. So you fear it and you don't like it.
I think it's more the other. But they're completely not like you, so you're afraid of it.
That's what I mean. Like, I mean, like, I'm not, like, as far as people go, I'm not fucking afraid of, like, anybody who's any type of queer, you know, anything like that. I don't care what color, race, creed you are. You got to give me a fucking reason to not like you.
Right.
You know? And I do think that a big problem in, especially the climate we live in, is a fear of people who are not like us. You know, people who are not white, people who are not Jewish.
Xenophobia.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So that, again, gets instilled through institutions. But, like, what's the institution that tells you, hey, like, don't go talk to that girl, something bad will happen. Like, where does that get in? Is that school?
High school.
Yeah. That's some of that's high school. Some of that is, I think a lot of that is just internal stuff. I don't think anybody told me, hey, don't go talk to her. It's absolutely, it does. It's self-image and how you value yourself. And you think, oh, that girl would never, ever want to be seen with me. But then again, maybe you don't know until you try.
Exactly.
And just because it doesn't work that one time, well, you know, you just got to treat it like an actor treats an audition, which is you go in thinking this is going to work. This is going to be like the best, most, this is going to absolutely succeed and it's going to be wonderful. And, you know, if it doesn't, you just accept that it didn't and you move on to the next audition.
Exactly.
And you assume that you're not going to get the part. And go find another.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very similar with stand-up. Because, you know, the whole point is, you know, this is going to work. This is the most brilliant thing I've ever created. And you have to sell it like that because otherwise it won't work. But, you know, once you sell it, sometimes it's just not going to hit.
Yeah.
And, like,
doesn't mean it won't hit somewhere else. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, there is that, but, you know, stuff I've been working on now is, like, general shit. So yeah. If it, like, doesn't work, it's, like, really heartbreaking to me. But, you know, it's if you aren't able to put it out there, like, you're 100% confident in the thing that you've created, then it doesn't work. And unless people are very sympathetic to you and, you know, that's a rarity.
And especially in, like, the, in the, what's the word I'm looking for, mediums that we do produce content, you know what I mean? The three of us, I mean, we all do similar things, but we all do different things as well. And, you know, like you said, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. I mean, I do think, going back kind of what you were saying, there is a mentality. I do believe your brain can be rewired, but you have to do the fucking work. You can't just be like, oh, well, this didn't work. I'm just going to sit here with my hands right here. Like, no. Yep. Fucking find a way to make it work. If you care enough, find a way to make it work. And I'm not trying to be like fucking Tony Robbins because I don't believe in that shit. I do believe in self-work, though. Like, you can. you can change things. I've done it myself, you know, and I'm one of the biggest fuck ups everybody knows. So, you know,
getting confirm.
So it's like, there's still plenty that I fear, you know, fears that you fucking sometimes can't control, like money.
Right.
Like, yeah, I don't make enough money. So yeah, you have that fear of like, well, what am I going to do next? It's like, I'm living paycheck to paycheck. Well, fuck that. Find a way to change that. You have to.
Right.
And that's like me and Shear when we were walking out of the radio station the other night, we were talking about doing the show, you know, because we had this scheduled, and I basically said to Shear, I was like, this go around, because, you know, we've been on break for about a year, sans one episode.
Yeah.
And this time I feel differently. I feel like we're going full fucking fledged. I don't give a shit what anybody thinks. I'm going to say whatever the hell I want to. And the biggest problem, well, no, I guess it's not a problem, is I'm currently not drinking, which normally, if you listen to the last 80 episodes of this show, I bet about 70 of them I was drinking. I'm currently not right now. I don't need a fucking award or a medal for that, but...
You're going to get one. Good job, big fella.
There's a difference, though, when I'm not... When I'm soberish, the filter actually goes away. I'm a lot nicer when I'm drinking. But somebody pisses me off when I'm sober, they're going to hear about it. I have no fear of that.
So this is what I suppose with that. You have a fear of being too nice.
I think that me being too nice is a good asset, but I also think that it is a big detriment to me, because when I'm dealing with my own problems, I will take on other people's problems and I'll put my shit to the side, where then it just festers, and then when it comes back, I shove it down with booze. And then
it's easy to take down something that's festering with booze.
Okay. You see, I'm the same exact way, and I take on other people's problems probably more than anybody you know.
Yes.
But I don't actually like solve it with booze. I solve it with work. Mm. Massive quantities of work.
Keep yourself and, going.
Always, yeah, as long as I can keep that little squirrel cage in my head,
yeah,
occupied with something other than the immediate issue that I got to fix, which is not my business to fix anyways. It's just, you know.
It just makes you a good person, yeah, if you try.
Well, you know what I mean? Yeah. No. Yeah. No, it doesn't. It's like I told myself that for a long time.
Yeah, I always see what you're saying.
And it doesn't always make you a good person. It makes you a crazy person is what it does. It
can drive you nuts.
So, been there, done that.
Yeah. It's hard to look at that as a symptom. Because you're supposedly doing something great for somebody. And but then you get locked into, you have to do that, otherwise you can't keep your shit together, and then it goes completely off the rails.
Fair enough.
And the way it goes off the rails is you take on, like, let's say for instance I was dealing with an alcoholic, and I was dealing with like their mess on a consistent basis. The symptoms I would begin to display would be symptomatic of the alcoholic. A lot of like the rage, a lot of the anger, a lot of the whatever, and all that other stuff comes with it. But it's not exactly where we're going with this podcast, but
we always do that.
Then we could get sidetracked a little bit, and that's fine. Yeah, you could absolutely take on a perfectly sane person could take on completely insane attributes by trying to care for somebody insane without proper distance,
right,
and perspective and coaching.
Yeah.
You need to, like, if you're going to go down that wormhole, you really, really need a guide that has been there, done that, and could help you make sure that you don't get lost down the same way.
Absolutely. I was more or less I mean, I think about, like you bringing up the alcoholic thing. I think when it comes to things like addiction, things like that, I've said this on this podcast before. I've said this in my writing before. I've said this lots of places, and I truly believe this. No matter what you do as a friend, nobody gets better until they want to get better, mm-hmm. whether that's hitting rock bottom or whether that's just a realization. I firmly believe that nobody can help you get better except you. And I mean, aside from like doctors, right. You know, but like nobody can help you not do those certain things that aren't good for you, but you.
Now, even a doctor will have very limited success if the patient doesn't want.
They can medicate you.
Well, that's about it. Yeah, and they could isolate you, but yeah. that's about it. Yeah. You know, it's at least as far as like, you know, addiction goes. If you're chasing that next high, that's what could happen. Yeah.
Well, I mean, isolating you and medicating you definitely helps in that situation, mm-hmm. but it's a first step.
Right.
Because after that, you know, you can't be isolated and medicated forever.
No.
I mean, medicated maybe, but isolated, no. Like, mm-hmm. that's no way to live.
Right.
No, absolutely not. And then that, like you said, that's the first step. And then I'm going to keep going back to what I said. I mean, I'm stealing it from more than one source, but the, you know, Cody Rhodes is the one I'm pulling it from. It's do the work, man.
Right.
I know, big Mark. Do the work. No matter what it is, do the work. And, like, that's why, you know, like you said, isolation, medication is the first step. But, like, it doesn't stop there. You have to get – basically what you end up having to do is get out of your own head.
Yep.
And, like I said before, fear all comes from up there. I mean, as an adult.
Yes. When I was a child, fear came from down there.
Well, I mean, yeah. Like, well, because I was going to say is, like – my biggest fear, from what I've been told from people, is death. That is why in my comedy, in my writing, whatever it may be, I've always made jokes about that and made light of it because it made me feel better. And I've had a couple, more than a couple, strings of death over the last 10 years that have really affected me. And it didn't help at all, you know, that I didn't deal with it. And so that only accentuates that fear and makes it worse. But as I continue to grow and do things, that shit's out of my head because I'm not thinking about it. Like you said, with the work.
Yep.
Like you.
Oh, believe me, that's not necessarily healthy for me. It's what it's doing
it
is
could be.
it's like you with drinking, you know, it's like you were that was your unhealthy release to like disguise the problems,
right.
to mask the problems. Work is that for me sometimes,
gotcha.
where I will completely bury myself in it so I don't have to deal with like fixing the craziness within between my two ears, which there's a fair amount of, you know, it's not the type of thing that would get me locked up or anything like that.
Sure.
But everybody, anybody who's lived a little bit, even a little bit in this world, I don't care what type of straight face you and what type of suit you're wearing out there, or you've suffered a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody has, and everybody's gotten hurt a little bit. And if you haven't yet, you will. It's just part of life. And dealing with that is something you can deal with. Or you can try to just forget it and bury it, which is not, like you said, it's not the healthy way to do it.
Correct. No, I can assure you it's not.
So, yeah. Speaking of two people with substance abuse issues in the past, I get it. I mean,
it's not even just a substance abuse thing for me because there are some things that have happened to me in my life, traumatic, that I just decided, you know what, I'm going to take myself out of that situation entirely so it no longer becomes a thing because I'm not dealing with that. And the unfortunate reality of it is it's something that I can't escape. So, you know, I can just
it's still going to be out there. It's still going to be a problem whether I want to deal with it or not.
It's just how you deal with it.
Yeah. Well, I've dealt with it through avoidance.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you could argue that it's healthy for me to be avoiding certain things.
I think it has helped you in the past. I do think, though, that sometimes it has been prolonged to where it has hindered you.
I don't know.
I'm thinking the last couple of years. I just, the things I've noticed, you know what I mean? When you completely disappear, unless we were doing this show, you know what I mean? It can help. I mean, I've done it myself. I mean, like when we, when he moved last year and we stopped doing the show, right around that time is when I started going off the rails again. And I went off the rails for a good 6 to 8 months. Like
before any of you get any ideas, me leaving did not send Jordan off the rails.
No, not at all. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that when I didn't have something to occupy, you know, and I mean, everything at that point was strained, and that was all, not all my own doing, but a lot of my own doing, and there was just, like, I locked myself away, basically. I worked on a couple projects here and there, then I told my therapist, like, since I've been going back to see him, was like, I canceled more plans and ideas and shit in the last year than I actually went out and did shit. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that was a realization for me. It was like, that's not me. Like, I used to be fucking out all the time. I want to get back to that place without the consistent getting hammered, you know, which is something that I'm going to have to learn how to balance.
Right.
Learning to have fun without getting hammered is difficult when you've been getting hammered for so long.
I'm already seeing that.
Yeah, it took me a little while to figure that out.
I mean, like I said, I'm not putting a time limit on it, anything like that. I'm not that kind of person. I just, when I don't have a fear of what, because there are certain expectations. Like, because of who I was for 10 years, a drunken fucking asshole who told jokes and made fun of people, you know, and a podcaster on top of that.
Yeah, it had a certain charm.
Yeah, no, yeah. And to a degree, it still does. But, like, over the past couple months, there's been a couple things, and honestly, I've never done anything as far as, like, groping or anything weird like that, or been overly aggressive towards anyone. I'm not an aggressive drunk, but I've seen videos and pictures of myself where I'm just whacked out of my mind and, like, was blacking out regularly, and I was like, oh, okay. It's, and then they were like, then they were putting me on new meds, and it's like, okay, time to fucking reel it in and reset. And that's just what I'm doing. And that comes with some fear.
Yep.
Yeah, because you're changing your paradigm.
Yeah.
So it's,
And then do you think that there's a fear of acceptance from others who knew you as, like, the drunk?
Absolutely.
Will they be open to Jordan 2.0?
If they are or aren't, that's their fucking business. Mm-hmm. Because the way I look at it is, if me getting drunk is the only way you like being around me, then fuck you. I don't need you in my life anyway.
Oh,
I don't
give
a shit, man. Like, the one thing I've learned over the last year being in therapy is, and my fiance is obviously number two, but it's like, I got it. To make her happy, I gotta be happy. And right now, I'm not happy. So I'm taking the proper steps to try and be happy again. You're or at least happy? Level up. Fuck no.
Get out.
What's the name of this podcast?
I forgot.
It's been so long.
It's been a year. Is getting over fear just a series of epiphanies, or, like, were there little things that just you know, there were steps along the way before you got to the point where you were over it?
Depends on the fear. You know, sure. it's like there are certain things which I can do without problem, certainly. It's hard to say like what things I've had success with and where I've had failures.
Yeah.
It's going to take a little bit of analysis and about the only preparation I've done for this show is really thinking, well, what characteristic within myself am I really, really hating? And that thing, that fear that sort of sets me back is the thing that does it. I haven't gone deeper than that, but okay. this is a good exercise in kind of trying to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the question is really where have I seen success?
Yeah,
what is still holding me back? Well, getting back to the Starwood thing, you know, it's like I could go down there. I could have a blast. I can. I still bury myself in a ton of work down there, but it's kind of necessary to work to make the festival happen.
Right.
And it's work you want to do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish there just wasn't so much of it.
Sure, sure. No, that's fair enough.
A massive amount of work.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I could go drumming and dancing. I could go out and play a drum and enjoy the hell out of it. And I could get up and dance around a bonfire naked and be absolutely content doing it, regardless of what other people think about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, which is, you know, awesome to be able to do. And it's a type of place where you can get away with doing something like that, which is just...
Do anybody over the age of, like, 50 just strap drums to their knees and, like, play drums with their balls? That would be amazing.
I have not seen that. I don't know that that's something I'd want to engage in.
Well, you know, I've got a little bit of time, but that's what I'm doing when I get 50.
Well, we've got a... Well, you're going to probably have to get your own drum for that. Anybody's going to want to share their drum with you with that one.
Nobody wants the sheer drum.
That's what the sheer drum is. I'm going to have to record that now.
Is that a goatskin head that you got on there?
Yes.
No, those are pubes.
I like how you just assume that I don't shave. You're right.
But he liked that you assumed it anyway.
Yeah. But no, you've had, you know, the fear isn't there at Starwood.
No, it's well, I'm sure there is fear there. I'm sure there's probably women who I should have talked to and who I didn't actually try to engage a conversation, or groups of people. And I'm not even talking about a hookup.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just you know, somebody who I, you know, I get engrossed in my own dealings and myself and don't. Engage with like somebody who's standing right next to me when I have that opportunity.
Yeah.
And that happens to me. That happens to me a lot. It happens to me when I go to see shows. Like if I go to see a music show somewhere, it's like 90% of the time when I go out and see a show in this day and age, I don't know anybody there.
Yeah.
Cause I've been so out of the scene, over the last decade, for seeing shows that, you know, the entire audience is completely churned and all of my peers have kids and
yeah,
they've got to be home and dealing with that rather than going out and hanging out with me at a bar watching a crappy garage band or a good garage band for that matter.
Yeah.
But that engaging in dealing with other people is something that I don't do well. And that is something that I think I absolutely need to keep working on.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can be hard. I mean, especially because, like, with how social I used to be and how much I've changed, you know, I guess what I'm trying to do is find that medium, right. Like, of, like, where I can go out and, like, meet new people or be around old people that I haven't seen in a while and... still be able to carry on a conversation and talk about old times. Like I was talking about before, I, you know, when I was going out, I was using alcohol as a crutch because like I felt like, I don't know what, and some of these people I've known for a long time.
Right.
And it's like, I don't know how to talk to you anymore. And that's not their fault.
Yeah.
You know, and it might not even be my fault. It's just something that happened.
Right.
You know? And, you know, fuck fear, man. Like,
well, there's another trap in there, which you kind of, like, brought up, and that's old times, and that brings up another hatred of mine, which it took me a long time to hate it, but I hate it more and more the more I happen upon it, and that's nostalgia.
Yeah.
And that is like, that's just, you know, setting yourself up for compare and contrast to what I used to have, to what I used to be, to what, you know, to like, where are those Star Wars figures that I used to have that now seem to be in Mike's place over here? So it's like, God, if I only had them in the original boxes still. But
yeah. I'm working on, just because of like, I'm off work for a little bit. I don't need to go into why. I mean, I guess you could probably gather why, but whatever.
It's because he's pursuing his true passion, eating pepperoni off his fat tits.
Basically.
Wow.
I'm trying to turn my tits into pepperoni. Skills.
Make sure you get that on, like, YouTube. There's going to be, you could get some cash channel for that.
But yeah, I mean, basically, you threw me off, motherfucker. Cock-sucking asshole. You threw me off. That does not happen very often. I don't remember what I was saying, but
you were saying pepperoni.
Fair enough.
Today we're going to try the fried pepperoni from, oh fuck, I just ruined the bit.
Antonio's?
Yeah, that's, I don't know. I went somewhere with fried pepperoni, and they serve it with ranch dressing, which was basically like putting a hat on a hat. and it was the most fattening thing I've ever eaten in my entire life. I thought I was going to die, like, eating a quarter of it.
Yeah, sure, fair enough.
And of course, my company did not want any, because that's so gross. You know,
I was, shut the fuck up, leave me alone. I don't have the fear to not eat this, so go fuck yourself.
It was more like, you know, I know it's, you're with me. Now you're upset about gross stuff.
But you just, as you're doing it, what did you expect?
Yeah, I'm eating fistfuls of mayonnaise when you're not here. Leave me alone. I'm afraid of things not tasting good. So
but I mean, dude, you're going out to this fest. You know, I talked to you about it the other day, and it seems like you even said, you're like, that's your release. Like, that's the one thing you need a year to kind of recalibrate.
I had two events. That's one of them. And geeking out at the science fiction film marathon is the other one.
Sure.
Those are my two things. I got one in the winter, one in the summer, and that's about all I've got time for.
No.
And but that's quite frequent. That's more than most people give themselves.
And I know, yes, it's easier said than done, but this thing you got coming up, dude, make a tiny goal. There's going to be umpteen people there. You want to talk to a girl? I would scope out the situation first, make sure she's not with another dude so that there's no issues there. You want to fucking talk to, go talk to her. It doesn't even have to be sexual, like where it's like, hey, want to bang, like you said, like a hookup.
Yeah, that's kind of tacky. I don't really like
hey, I look at my dick. See it?
It's blue. There's, I not, painted it.
I haven't really gone with like the casual hookup there in a long time.
You want it to be green? Let me dip it in yellow.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, I mean, like, dude, make a small goal. Like, that's what, like, I keep telling my fiance, like, every day what I've been doing, like, what I've been trying, you know, I'm doing all the exercises my therapist and doctor give me, you know, like, hey, try this. It's like, I feel like, what about Bob? Like, Bill Murray and What About Bob? It's like, but, like, seriously, baby steps. It's one little thing at a time. And, like, the one thing I've learned over the last couple months is it's tiny little victories that you can build on.
Yeah.
And that's straight up the truth, because it's worked for me.
It's island hopping. I want an atom bomb. I want all my fear to be, well, that's the thing. I have used the atom bomb to get rid of fear. The fallout was terrible.
Try hydrogen next time.
I mean, I don't want to do whippets.
Probably pop the mic on that one.
I don't like whippets. I'm not afraid of whippets. I just, you know, you can feel your brain cells popping.
Yeah.
And everything gets
it was obviously a joke. I just thought, yeah, I just wanted to
put it out there that I hate whippets. There's no hippie crack.
Don't offer Jeremy whippets. He has a fear of them. That.
Is that what that Devo song was really about?
Yes.
Okay.
When a problem comes along.
You must be Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's got to be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're from Akron. That would make total sense.
Yeah.
And I never even thought about it until now.
See, we teach things.
Illumination.
The thing is, man, like, we're back. I feel like we're back, and we're fucking partway through an episode, and we're fucking doing better than ever, man. Like,
it's awesome.
Like, seriously, me and Shear are actually in... I mean, aside from what's going on with me, but in decent headspaces for once, to where we can actually, like, I feel like we're back and we're ready. Like, oh, we're ready for the next fucking level, you know?
I'm in a terrible headspace.
Well, I mean, like, when we're doing this, like, yeah. This is something that we're, like, we're ready. We're ready to come back.
I mean, sometimes I do feel like what Keith was saying, though, is that, you know, I get buried in the work.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to deal with the other shit.
Yeah.
And, but what I ended up doing to get over that was I did nothing the past year. Like, absolutely nothing. And just gave myself time to, like, figure shit out. And shit needed figured out.
Yes, it did.
Because, like, you know, there's a period of time when in most people's lives when they should not tell the doctor... Please give me more drugs so I don't murder anybody. And, like, the doctor's like, are you serious? And I'm like, yes. Here are the receipts. And so I had to get over that. And the only way to do that was to completely distance myself from everything for a year.
Which makes sense.
So then I didn't have anything to, like, throw myself into mm-hmm. so that I could just... You know,
completely decompress.
Well, as it was, there was decompression, and then there was, oh shit, there's still all this terrible stuff here, even though I have decompressed and it should have gotten out naturally. That's not what happens. Sometimes there's piles of shit on the floor. And the problem that I had was I had gotten used to the smell of shit. So there's cleaning that needed done. So
you're getting out of your G.G. Allen mode is basically what you're saying?
I still have terrible tattoos. And never mind. You could just picture me in the Eat Me Jockstrap. I don't have to walk you through it. I can assure you that's not a cup. That's just what it is.
I just think that I think this is a good subject to talk about because it's not just one person, you know what I mean? Like yeah. every like you said at the beginning, everybody has it in one way or another. They fear right. something. And you may not always get over it, but I think you can lighten it.
Absolutely.
You know? I think it's like you said, what's one fucking rejection? One person right. says no. 10 could say yes.
And then there's other things. It's not just the interpersonal stuff. Sometimes it's like a job. Like you're afraid to leave a job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you hate the job you're in.
Oh, well,
but it pays. It's covering you.
Yeah.
You know.
That is exactly where I am at right now.
And if it's not, you know, cuz I was at that point when I was working in Columbus doing a theater gig. You know, it's like I have benefits. I'm making money. I'm saving a modest amount. But I couldn't see just how much I was being taken advantage of job until my artistic director, who I was working with in Columbus, said, Keith, you need to just get out of there and come join me out in Utah, and which is what I did. And it was a short-term job. It was only a three-month gig,
mm-hmm.
but it was a phenomenal 3 months,
yeah.
and my head completely turned around as far as, like, knowing my skill set, and confidence was definitely up after that. And I had peaked over at that other gig. You know, it's like, well, what else am I going to do here except, you know, build and run shows and grind myself into a pulp for not nearly enough money.
And that's the, and that's like, you know, is it a fear of growth? I mean, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I think for me, it was a fear of inadequacy.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to, like, at what point are they going to figure out that I'm a fraud? It's like, how, How much longer can I fake this?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
How you know, who am I going to be working with this at this other scene shop that I'm jumping ship to go work for?
Yeah.
And sooner or later, you're just convinced somebody is just going to call me on my bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
And I get that a lot. So I get it. It's, I don't know how to get over it. You know, except to be proven right. Mm-hmm. I guess that's like, hey, you know what you're doing.
I mean, like right now, I mean, just, I mean, I'll give, I mean, I've always been pretty open and honest on this podcast. Right now, due to doctor recommendations, two different doctors, that I needed to go on FMLA. And because my job is stressing me out so much that I, on top of other compounded issues, that I snapped. Like last Monday, I it all just broke, and the dam broke, and it was just like, and I've been in therapy, I've been at the doctor's the last couple months, but it all just finally broke, and now with this time off, I'm trying to focus on my projects, but I'm also taking the time to decompress, and I'm actually getting a lot of work done. I'm getting a lot of positive reinforcement from that as well.
Handy J's.
And it seems to be working, but for example, I went and saw my therapist today, and a couple people brought up to me, well, what happens when you go back to work and it's the same? Or what happens if you go to another job and you feel the same way? So I'll deal with those issues when those issues come.
Yep.
Because it was brought up to me. I'm trying not to fear that. Like, whatever happens is going to happen. I don't fear that. I know in the back of my mind that if I lost a job, if I, you know, if I lie, you know, don't have any money, blah, 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 I've gotten through worse, man. And I know I can fight fucking back. And that's why that fear is, can always be there, but it's bullshit. It's really fucking bullshit.
I think FDR would be happy with the way you phrased that.
Fear. The only thing we have to fear is bullshit. So Keith.
Also polio.
I'm terrified of polio. So Keith, where can we find you on the internets to hear some archives?
Well, the best way to listen to crap radio is to do it live. That could be done Sunday nights, midnight to 2 a.m. Or sometimes
Glenn Beck, or who was that? Bill O'Reilly. Fuck it, we'll do it live. Glenn Beck, Bill O'Reilly, all the
whatever.
Same to me.
Anyhow, yeah, but to listen live, tune in to WCSB 89.3 FM Cleveland.
It will always be interesting. Every time I've been on there, it is always interesting.
You know, crap radio is a wonder. It is WCSB has had a long history of talk shows that have, you know, basically straddled the third rail of comedy for many, many years. And I like to think that I'm upholding a nice tradition with that.
You are. I mean, there isn't really another talk show. Well, there are people that do talk, but it's like in terms of letting what happens, I think you do it better than anybody else.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. If you want to go listen to the archives of my show or another fantastic show or a few other fantastic shows, which we have at our station, you could go to radio, spelled radio.ca, where Dave Bochner, who is a phenomenal guy from Canada, has basically archived every show that I've done over the last, God, probably like 8 or 9 years. And I'm trying to get my older shows, because I've been doing this since like 1993, 94, to him as well.
Nice. So very cool.
A lot of old stuff. And the weird thing is, you know, back then when I was younger and dumber, you know, we didn't have a tape delay. So I've got to go through like all of those shows and figure out, God, is there anything incriminating that's going to get me fired from my job if it gets released in this day and age that I said 30 years ago?
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not quite 30 years yet, but it's getting close.
25.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've got to like really listen before I submit things to Dave on that, or else, you know, God only knows.
And dude, who knows? You might learn something from it too.
I might. Well, you know, that's the other thing is looking back sometimes, those shows are entertaining. They absolutely are. However, they got their place in the past for me. You know, I've got to keep looking forward into the future to try to, you know, do more entertaining things. And I can miss and mourn some of the older callers that we used to have and people. But the minute you start thinking, well, you know, the good old days are all behind us. You know, that's setting yourself up for failure.
Absolutely.
Well, you have to evolve. Otherwise, what are you even doing?
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of that. Mm-hmm. And trying new things on the air occasionally.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Why not, dude? If you don't try, you won't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but there's there's certain things that you can do within the format of WCSB Talk. It's people are very resistant when you like try to push against that.
Yeah.
Like for instance, if we were going to do a show like this, where we didn't have caller interaction and we'd take calls like for questions for the guest, it wouldn't work. no one would like stick to wanting to question the guest. There's just that format does not work.
That also would not work because you know I couldn't keep my shit together. I would get fucking irate with people, I'm sure.
And that's exactly how it works with our guests and our callers. So that's why you fit right in.
The first
in.
Time I was on your show, I argued with a schizophrenic lady for 45 minutes. The last time I was on your show, we talked about fish pussy. Like, who the fuck knows? But I have no fear of that.
that's half of the beauty right there. Toss yourself in a new situation, see what happens.
Yeah.
Well, Keith, we love you, dude. Hey, like, every time I've ever had an interaction with you, it's always been pleasant, and I always like seeing you out when we do see each other out at shows. It
happens here and there.
Yeah, like whatever it is.
When I'm not burying myself in work.
Fair enough, yeah. Like, so, you know, you're a good guy, dude. Fucking keep plugging along. Hey. You've been doing it for so goddamn long.
Yeah.
Try new things, too.
Yeah, I need to. You know, that's one of those things where I need to try to absolutely do new things. And a lot of it's just making the time.
Yeah.
And turning down gigs for me is very tough to do.
Yeah.
It's it's like saying no to a job when somebody says, well, and they might not even pay that well.
Yeah.
But it's like I know somebody needs me to help them in order to make a show happen. Well, sometimes they can find somebody else.
Sure.
I'm just really bad at saying it because I'm afraid, getting back to that, also sometimes that they won't call back.
Right.
And that's the thing, dude, is you just blatantly saying no, that doesn't, with some people that does work. Yep. With the other people, you could just be like, hey, there's just a little too much on my plate right now. Would love to work with you in the future. I've done it to people.
Right.
Would love to work with you in the future. Hit me up. And if they do, great. And if they don't, you don't need, there'll be something else. Like, I'm a firm believer that when one door closes, another door opens. I am a firm believer in that.
I'm way ruder.
I know. We balance each other out.
Well, I've had to be lately. But yeah, you can check out Keith and the zany cast of characters that are a part of the WCSB culture at radiozero.ca. Check out the Bogner archives. So Jordan, I don't think we're going to find anybody that hates fear as much as Keith Newman.
No, there is another. The world dies again. I'm a rapid offender. You can see right through my skin. I don't care about making mistakes. I keep standing up and falling on my face. Feed me nothing, ages. Drag me to the ring. Another discharge may burn. Daniel's in drunkenness.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.